nervousness about how we were going to start on time. I'm sorry. Here we're not quite started on time. But, you know, you never know when the speaker's going to corral you and you can't quite get down to the meeting on time. So, rest assured we will try to start every other meeting on time. Members, we've got the minutes of the January 10th meeting before us. Is there anyone who would like to make a motion to approve them? Representative Dorn moves approval of the minutes of January 10th. Any corrections, additions, deletions to the minutes? Seeing none, all in favor of the minutes of January 10th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. Members, I will move that House File 57 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. I'm going to ask Commissioner Ingerson to come forward and testify in favor of this bill. And members, I have had a number of people talk to me about their concerns that this is moving more quickly than they would like, that they have questions, that they feel uncomfortable with the idea of trying to pass it today. And so what I'm going to do is, at the end of the day, lay it over. This will be an informational hearing. We will not be acting on the bill today. This is your chance to ask questions of Commissioner Ingerson, ask questions of any other agencies that are here. I think that I want to reach out to anyone who has concerns that this is moving too fast and make sure that everyone's questions are answered instead of trying to just push the bill through today. So with that, members, unless there are any questions,
Chair?
Yes, Representative Holberg.
If I might, we will still have session tomorrow to do a paper push when we don't have paper to push. Is that correct?
I think that there are plenty of other bills that have been introduced that need to be pushed. And so, yes, a meeting was already scheduled, and that meeting of session tomorrow will take place. Representative Holberg.
Just one question. I know that some of the other divisions had hearings on some portions of this. Maybe we could have at least some indication of where those hearings took place or which groups did have a hearing on it. I think I thought public safety at least had some concern.
I know, Representative Solberg, you're correct. Chair Smith in public safety did have a hearing, and I'm not sure. Are you asking me if there are other hearings that are going to be taking place, or are you asking me to have Chair Smith comment on his hearing?
Well, probably both. I just think that that's a good spot to have some discussion in the hearings besides here as well.
Okay.
We can have both.
I guess I would ask any of the chairs that have scheduled hearings on the bill to speak up later today. And I think that Chair Smith, maybe when we get to the judiciary section, I'm sure you'll be asking some questions. I can recognize you, and you can make any comments you wish to make about hearing that you had. Unless you want to make a comment now.
Chair, that'd be fine. It's no secret that we at our regularly scheduled meeting this morning, Representative Solberg, we did begin to rehear these items that we have heard previously last year and acted upon, and now they're in the form of deficiency bill. This morning specifically, we heard from representatives of the Board of Public Defense and the Department of Public Safety, and the time was given to those items, and questions were allowed from the committee. Tomorrow and concluding on Thursday morning, we'll be going through the balance, the Department of Corrections, the Board of Judicial Standards, and whatever other questions may arise between this morning and Thursday. So while we're not re-voting on it, Mr. Chairman, we are looking at it today, tomorrow, and on Thursday morning.
Thank you, Chairman Smith. All right, with that, welcome Commissioner Ingerson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Mr. Chairman and members, appreciate your willingness to hear this bill early on and to give it consideration early in the session. I think that, as was just mentioned, Mr. Chair, there's a number of items here in the deficiency bill that shouldn't be new to folks, unless the folks here are new. But that were dealt with in a bill last session that didn't pass. And so now what we've asked, Mr. Chair, is that there are some urgencies in a couple of areas. I think the Public Defense Board in particular, as well as with the Gang Strike Force, that there are some urgencies to getting the funding sooner here, and so appreciate your willingness to consider it early on here. Mr. Chair, I know that, and members, I know that there are a number of folks from the agencies that are represented here that would be able to speak to some of the things that the specific items here in the bill. Mr. Chair, I'm not sure if I know we have had some conversations about some concerns that have been raised, primarily about the financing of the deficiencies in the appropriation. And Mr. Chair, I don't know if you'd like me to address those now or if there are other questions on the individual items.
Well, I thank Commissioner Ingerson. Since this is an administration proposal, even though I'm the chief author, why don't you walk through the bill and present the items and your rationale and the administration's rationale for it.
Okay, Mr. Chair and members, the Board on Judicial Standards has the first appropriation for $230,000. This is as a result of an extensive investigation and costs involved there, deficiency for them. The Board of Public Defense, Mr. Chair and members, I think that the history, I'm not sure if I can summarize it kind of quickly, but in the 2003 session, there was an assumption that fees would be charged to people, clients of public defenders. The Supreme Court ruled that unconstitutional. So this was a kind of leaves the funding short by this amount. And this was included in a bill last session as well. And I think that there was agreement for the Public Defense Board not to initiate action to live within their appropriation last summer on kind of the word of the leadership to act quickly to pass this. So next item is in public safety. There's a couple of items. There's matching funds for the federal disaster assistance where we typically match the federal funds. This is for a disaster that happened here in the intervening year. Also, there's the other item in public safety is an appropriation for the Gang Strike Force. The organization, I think, ran out of funds here, and they've cobbled together some funding in the interim. In the Department of Corrections, Mr. Chair and members, this is a deficiency primarily related to bed space in the number of inmates that the Department of Corrections is currently housing is something over 200 more than when the appropriation bill was passed in 2003. They also have a lot of costs related to health insurance costs related to the added inmate population there. In the Department of Human Services, the item here is for the regional treatment centers for the state-operated services for the sex offender treatment, the civilly committed sex offenders in the Department of Human Services. Again, that was an item, Mr. Chair and members, that was considered last session. One item that is new is the Department of Veterans Affairs has a deficiency in their current year for the rent expenses that they were unaware of previously, so that's included here as well. The other item that's new in this deficiency bill but was considered last year during the legislative session is the relocation expenses. The appropriation is made to the Department of Administration, but the expenses are for the Departments of Health and Agriculture that are moving. And Mr. Chair and members, this probably gets a little bit into now the kind of discussion of financing these deficiencies. For the relocation expenses, there's a portion of those costs that would need to be incurred here in this fiscal year. And so the appropriation is basically financed by the proceeds of the sale of the existing Department of Health building. So it is a net washes out the costs of the appropriation for relocation. And then, Mr. Chair, maybe I'd move to have a little bit of discussion about the what the governor is recommending as to pay for the balance of the deficiencies in the general fund, which is about $25 million separate from the relocation expenses. And that is, the governor's recommending that the school payment should be adjusted to pay for that. And Mr. Chair and members, maybe I kind of need to describe a little bit that this wasn't a place where the governor was particularly interested in making a change either. But what occurs is under current law, the November forecast basically deals with and allocates all of any surplus in fiscal year 05 to things like, first, the cash flow account, secondly, the budget reserve, and thirdly, to begin paying back the school payment shift. So those are things that occurred as a result of the November forecast showing $495 million projected balance in this fiscal year 05. As we kind of looked at now these deficiencies, which had they been passed last year, would have meant that the school payment shift would be a lesser amount and would have been considered prior to the allocation of those balances in the November forecast. But we felt kind of boxed in terms of our ability to identify any resources in fiscal 05 to pay for this, because if we identified funds that wouldn't be spent in the general fund, it would impact our cancellation estimate, which currently is projected to occur. And so what we did was just consider the fact that had these items passed last session, they would have reduced the amount that would go to the payment shift. So maybe just to kind of maybe take a minute to explain the impact on school districts. School district payments in law prior to the November forecast was we were paying 80% of the school payments to schools, the payments to schools in the current year, 20% in a follow-up payment. The language that went into effect with the November forecast basically says that if there was a surplus projected through fiscal 2005, money first goes to replenish the cash flow account, secondly, to build the budget reserve up to $653 million, and thirdly, to begin reducing and buying back that school payment shift, taking it back to 90-10 from the 80-20 that had been enacted. As a result of that November forecast, there's $495 million. Of that, $118 million would be going to pay back the school payment shift. And I think the payments starting the end of December to school districts started to reflect a newer payment amount of the shift as opposed to the 80%. It was 81 point something, but I'm not sure of the decimal point there. So that was $118 million, and so as a result of the governor's recommendation, what the governor is recommending, actually, is that school payment shift be reduced by $25 million. So instead of $118 million, it would be a smaller percentage amount going back to pay off the shift. Mr. Chairman, members, as the way the law currently reads, as a result of the February forecast, if there is a surplus projected still in this biennium, money would all go towards buying back the school payment share.
Commissioner Ingersen, let me ask you actually about the other source of funds that you have in terms of the sale of the 717 Delaware building and the roughly $4.8 million that you're expecting to get. That is there a closing date set on that at this time?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure. I think that maybe there'd be somebody from the Department of Administration that would be able to answer that question.
Okay. I see someone coming forward.
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Wayne Wislowski, and I work with the Department of Administration Real Estate Management Division. The closing, the U of M has indicated they could close as early as February 15th, but they are flexible with that closing date.
I'm sorry, what date was that?
February 15th.
Okay. All right. And that, the dollar figure that we have in here, the roughly $4.8 million, is there a signed purchase agreement that exists already with that figure in it?
Mr. Chair, members, we're just finalizing the document. We're very close to being ready to execute the purchase agreement.
Okay. And just out of curiosity, can I ask, where are the funds for the university purchase of that building coming from?
Mr. Chair, members, I guess I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to defer, but we can check with the University of Minnesota and get back to you on that.
Okay. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, on the administration relocation for the health and agriculture, I'm interested in knowing how much of that is going to be built into their base. How much of that cost of relocating is ongoing costs of additional rent and so forth.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and Representative Solberg, I'm not sure that I have the information here to answer the specifics of that question, but typically, maybe just a little bit of background, typically when we're dealing with relocation expenses in a bonding bill in the bonding year, it's kind of off cycle of our operating budget, and we typically include in the relocation expense in a bonding bill the cost of actually relocating, as well as a rent differential and a change in the rent payments that would be there. Because we're dealing with this in the time that we're dealing with our operating budget as well in the same session, we're dealing with the ongoing rent expenses in the 2006-2007 operating budget, which will be dealt with in the when governor's recommendations will be available in a couple of weeks. So, Representative Solberg, I think maybe there'd be somebody here that could answer the specific questions about the cost of the rent, but it's not being dealt with here. This is simply the relocation expenses in this bill.
Well, Mr.
Representative Solberg,
I think some of it is the cost of the additional rent that we're paying. Even though we own the building, the agency has charged that rent. And I do think some of that is being charged, and I think it's interesting. I think we should know how much is going to be ongoing cost of that, and it's a legitimate question, I think, because as we're looking at an amendment, to working with the chair on an amendment to try to identify, you know, how do we build the cost of the public defenders into their base, even though you guys have already put your budget together. Or probably down the road of putting the budget together. And so it would be, I think we need to have that information. And if we don't get the information here, I hope it would get it into the appropriate committee.
Mr. Chair,
Commissioner.
Representative Solberg, I think we do have that information, but we haven't been tracking it as part of this bill. But we do have information on what the ongoing, obviously the public defenders costs are not one time. This is part of their ongoing operations, but we haven't suggested changing the starting point for the budget discussion because we're kind of in this transition period where we're in the process of putting the governor's budget together, and I think it would certainly be our preference that we include those expenses as part of the budget coming out in a couple of weeks. The 607 cost.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the other thing that's kind of interesting about this is last year when we were putting together the capital budget, the cost of the move was all of a sudden zero. I mean, it was said you could eat it from I think we passed the bill. There wasn't any general fund money to move.
Representative Stewart, I think that money was being carried in the state government finance bill. And my recollection is it was in state government finance.
So didn't we pass that?
Yes.
Well, then, if it was passed, then why are we here?
Well, as I recall, the Senate passed a slightly different version of the bill.
So, I mean, we didn't bring that into law.
No, that did not become law.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Representative Carlson.
On a different subject?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go back to the shift question because if I follow the numbers, you said it was $118 million that would have been available, and you're tapping $25 million to fund this bill, so that reduces the amount to the school districts by $25 million. There are different ways we could describe that. One way would be we've got about $1 million pupil units, so that's about $25 per pupil that the school districts would have received. I think we all know that our school districts have been strained financially this biennium, and that was dollars that probably could have helped there. But my question is a broader one. As we move into this next budget cycle, what are the Department of Finance's plans for the balance, the $93 million? Is that something that you're going to tap again and again as you put the budget together for this biennium, for the next biennium?
Commissioner Ingerson.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, the governor's budget recommendations will be available in a couple of weeks, but let me kind of give you a little bit of a hint about this. One of the things that has occurred, I'm sure you're all aware that Moody's had downgraded the state's credit rating, and I think that we were very concerned, in particular had a number of conversations with Standard & Poor's, and the credit committee had raised a lot of concerns about the state's financial situation. We specifically pointed to this language in law that says that the priority for any funding is to restore the cash flow account, bring the reserves back up to that high point, and to begin buying back the school payment shift. So I really think that, and we don't know this specifically, but I really think that that being able to point to this language, that this is a priority in law for the legislature, really made a difference in terms of not getting downgraded by Standard & Poor's. I think that the governor feels very strongly and feels like it's very important to maintain the AAA credit ratings that we have now from Standard & Poor's and Fitch, and begin to build back the confidence of the folks at Moody's. And so I think he would be very reluctant to support any use of the reserves or the school payment shift going forward in the future. I think, as I mentioned, Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, this was a difficult decision, and I think because of the language here now, were it not for this language that sort of boxes us in at this point in terms of allocating all of any revenue in fiscal 05, I don't think the governor would be using the school payment shift either at this point.
Representative Carlson.
Question on that. Then you're saying that Moody's looks at all three of those points, including the shift in terms of our credit rating. What would their reaction be then to the fact that we're now tapping it to the point of $25 million? It does show that we're not being consistent then with that language, at least to that level.
Commissioner Ingerson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I think that the rating agencies don't tell us about how they would react to things that we would do, and basically it's just my feeling that I think that this language is very important. The way that we've described this basically is that if the legislature would have acted last session, this is money that would not have been available to the school payment shift, would have reduced that amount that was to the school payment shift. And so, you know, the priority basically is the cash flow account, the budget reserves, and the school payment shift. And if we had some other options, we probably wouldn't be looking at the school payment shift. But had the bill passed last session, it would have had the effect of what we're recommending at this point now, and that is reducing that school payment shift.
So, Mr. Chair, just a final question then. I was careful to ask you what your recommendation would be, because I know the governors historically embargo things until they give their budget message. But then what you're saying, I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but your recommendation to the governor is no further tapping of the shift beyond the $25 million. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, that's right.
Thank you.
Representative Rukavina.
Well,
you know, Mr. Chair and members, quite frankly, I look at this deficiency bill and, you know, basically it's the crime bill and it's the cost of doing business around here because, you know, I always say there's not more crime, there's more criminals because we made it a crime. But here we are, we're just screwing the kids to help the criminals. And quite frankly, you know, I'm getting tired of Governor Palenque reminds me really of Governor Wimpy, this I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. And that's basically what we're doing here again. We're going to steal $25 million that we promised the schools, okay? And we're going to take care of, you know, we care about our veterans so much in this country and state. We got $39,000 in there for veterans, and $39,000, and we got about, looks to be about $26-27 million for criminals. We can find money for that all the time around here, but we can't find money for schools. That $450 million, I suspected the other day, Mr. Marks, and asked Mr. Marks, and he told me this morning it's basically the tax, which we didn't call a tax, on private pay senior citizens and nursing homes. Maybe we can just hit them up for this $25 million too. We can, you know, call it some kind of public safety thing and we can pay for that. But really, members, I'm getting sick of just tossing dollar after dollar after dollar and it doesn't stop. And Chairman Smith, you know I'm right in the criminal system. It was the only omnibus bill we increased last session in 2003 that didn't have to get cut and see a cut. And here we are. We got a deficiency bill that takes care of nobody but criminals.
Well, Representative
Mr. Chair, if I can finish. The governor said he balanced this budget. The governor said he didn't raise taxes. Let the governor solve this problem. Let Governor Wimpy pay Tuesday for a hamburger today because I'm not voting this bill out of here today. I'm just getting tired of going after everybody so we can pump more money into this cottage industry that I call the courts system.
Well, Representative Rukavina, just in case you weren't here when I made the announcement, neither you or anyone else is voting the bill out of here today. This is an informational hearing. We're not taking a vote on the bill.
Sure, I'm sorry, that was to prepare you for tomorrow.
Oh, all right. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, in the revenue side, the human services fees, $1.6 million. Who's paying those fees, and are the fees going up, or is that just more money coming in than we thought?
Commissioner, or someone else from the department, if they'd like to come forward and answer that. Welcome to the Ways and Means Committee. Could you state your name for the record and give us your testimony?
Mr. Chair, members, my name is Wes Koistra, and I'm from the Department of Human Services. In response to Representative Huntley's question, the $1.6 million revenue comes off of the additional, as an offset to the additional spending we're expecting in the forensics units at St. Peter, and represents the historic county share that we always deposit, non-dedicated to the general fund. So it's the historic county share offset of 10%.
Representative Huntley?
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Koistra, I guess I wasn't quite following that. There's an increase here of what the counties are going to pay into the general fund?
Mr. Koistra.
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, the revenue line that I believe you're seeing in the bill, I don't have the bill in front of me, is a result of a spending item elsewhere in the bill. And it's not a change in county share. It's the historic county. It's the historic amount of county share that we receive for every dollar spent in the regional treatment center, and that goes on throughout the regional treatment center system, not just in these particular programs where we're seeing the increases. It's not a change in law. It's not a change in revenue stream. It's just accounting for a revenue stream that currently exists.
Mr. Koistra, is it fair to say, Mr. Koistra, that this is simply recognizing current law, that because there are more people in the county underneath current law participates as a cost share in those people, that they are paying more?
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay. Representative Huntley?
So, Mr. Chair, and Commissioner Koester, does that mean that we have more people in the regional treatment centers and therefore the county share, which is not changing, but there's more people, so they have to pay more? Is that correct?
Mr. Koester.
Mr. Chair, Representative Huntley, that's basically correct. We are seeing other downsizing regional treatment centers under which counties are no longer paying a county share, but that's been already recognized in the current law budget. Since this is off of current law and we are asking for an increase from current law, we have to recognize the revenues of the county. So if you look at point in time where counties are at, there's probably a net decrease in total county shares because of the net decrease we're seeing system-wide in the population.
Representative Greiling, I skipped over you earlier. I'm sorry. Representative Greiling and then Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Back to education. I don't feel quite so bad about the things that need to be funded in here as Representative Riccavina. But I do feel very bad that last year we cut education for the first time in the history of our state that anyone can recall. And now we have a bill that we're asked to vote on, the first bill of the session, to cut education again. And I'm very dismayed that would be the first place we would be looking when we all campaigned on education being our number one priority. So I'm hoping before we get around to voting on this tomorrow that Ms. Ingeson can go back to the governor and come out with a better source of funding for this needed bill. That was something that my voters strongly told me in the last door-knocking round was they hoped we wouldn't be cutting education again. And I'm going to have to think long and hard, even though this is a needed bill, if I can vote for it when it's the first bill out of the chute after I promised all campaign season long that I would be prioritizing education. I think we should all be thinking long and hard before we cast our first vote of the session in 2005 to cut education again. So I implore you to go back to the governor and try to come up with another funding source. I know that we have this language in here, but I don't think the bond houses are going to look kindly on us abusing it. It sounded like a one-time catastrophe plan, and we promised we'd follow this to pay it back. And so if we go ahead and borrow from the schools again, rob the schools again, I can't imagine that wouldn't impair our bond rating as well. So I think this is a very unsatisfactory bill, and I'm not so certain I can support it with this funding source.
Commissioner Ingeson.
Mr. Chair and Representative Browning, let me just kind of say that I certainly wouldn't advocate for the school increasing the shift and the payment changes for school districts. But in fact, this does not have an effect on the revenue per student, and school, it's simply a timing issue in terms of payment. So I think that it's appropriate to kind of understand that we're not talking about cutting school districts, but delaying the payment that they're entitled to. So, and it is, in fact, Mr. Chair, I don't want to kind of diminish that because I don't think that it's a good thing to do. I think we should return, and I applaud the priority that's in current law that says that we should get back to a 90-10 payment arrangement with school districts. But I just want to be clear that, we're not talking about cutting school districts, simply delaying the payment that they're entitled to, which we have done historically.
Well, and Commissioner, as I understand what happened with the November forecast, we actually increased payments to school districts beyond what they had expected to get. And this proposal from the administration would slightly decrease that increase, but they would still be getting more money in the sense of the payment shift than they had otherwise expected. Is that true?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's correct. They would be getting more than when the budget was enacted. So in one sense, there's somewhat of a windfall to school districts as a result of the November forecast. This would diminish that slightly.
Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, members, I did serve on the school board, and I know it's a short period of time that they have this different amount that they're expected compared to the longer time that when the budget was passed. But anytime you pay schools late, they have to do short-term borrowing, which is the most expensive kind of interest. And I know that we don't count the interest that schools have to pay here in our state budget when we pay them late. But let me tell you, every school district does have to count that in their budget, as I'm sure you know. And they don't just cavalierly take it as a small thing when we pay them late. And, you know, and especially the small school districts, you know, a quarter of our districts in this state are very, very small, and then just any small amount can throw their budgets off. And even in a district the size of the schools that I represent, it can be a considerable amount when they have short-term borrowing, and they have to factor that into their budget because our schools are so lean right now. We just went through a bunch of figures in education finance just a couple hours ago where we saw that in terms of real dollars, if you take out inflation and things, you know, they basically have flat funding. And so to add this in there too, I would implore you again to go back to the governor and try to find another funding source. And besides that, I think it's the wrong message for all of us who campaigned on putting education as a top priority.
Representative Wagenius, Carlson, McNamara, and Sikora. Representative Sikora, did you have something to this point? Representative Sikora.
Right. You know, the bill that we passed in this past biennium changed the payment to school districts from 90% in 1 year of what they had coming to and 10% in the next year. There's always been a difference in when we paid it. They always got part of it 1 year and part of it the next year. They were getting 90-10. We switched that to 80-20. And what this deficiency bill does, the money that we put back in changed it to 81.9 that they would that would be the deficiency rather than, 20%. And so this makes just a tiny change of about 0.4%. So it does make a tiny change. It's still better than it was, and none of us want to, see it come out of education, but it doesn't actually change what they have coming for this biennium. They will get the amount of money they had coming. They just might. They'll get, 0.4% of it after end of June instead of before the end of June. And it would have been 20% after the end of June before this money was put back in.
Representative Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Tonight I'm looking at line 27 on page 2 in the gang strike force grant. Is this for methamphetamine?
Sorry, can you repeat your question, Representative Wagenius?
Well, I was doing pretty well this time.
Into the mic.
Okay. I'm looking at page 2, line 27 on the gang strike force and looking at the grants there. My question was, is this for addressing methamphetamine?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair and Representative Wagenius, I don't think so, but I'm kind of looking around to see if there's someone from the Department of Public Safety here. And yes, I'm getting the nod that it's not. I know that there was some discussion about the gang strike force, but this isn't related to the new initiatives related to methamphetamines. This is as a result of continuation of activities from 2 years ago when the funding was eliminated in the second year.
And just to refresh members, there had been discussion last year about merging the gang strike force and the drug task force, but that did not happen last year, and that is not part of the proposal in this bill. Representative Wagenius.
Then just help us out if that's not what it's for. What is it specifically for? That's
I see someone coming forward with an answer to that question. Could you introduce yourself and state your name for the record?
Yes, Mr. Chair. My name is Mary Ellison. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Public Safety. Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, this is to continue the operations of the criminal gang strike force through June 30th this year.
So it's just a straight operations, nothing new. It's just a regular operating budget.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, that's correct.
Representative Solberg.
Maybe Mr. Smith or someone that has served on that committee they've asked that question. What is your total operation budget, and what was appropriated 2 years ago for the biennium?
Ms. Ellison.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the total appropriation for 03 for the for 04 for the criminal gang strike force was $352,000. We were able to supplement that with some one-time funding, and so the total amount for 04 that they used to operate was $1.4 million.
So, Mr. Chair, and the legislature appropriated zero for 05?
Ms. Ellison.
Mr. Chair, Representative, the total appropriation for 05 is $352,000, base budget.
Representative Slobus.
Was that 352 for each of the 2 years, 352 in 04 and 352 in 05?
Ms. Ellison.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
And but you were able to substitute it by over $1 million in 04 for your program. Is that correct,
Ms. Ellison?
Yeah, that's correct.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know where that came from.
Ms. Ellison,
ideas?
Or someone else?
Mr. Chair, that came from some federal fine money that was one-time money that was appropriated to the Criminal Gang Strike Force through the U.S. Attorney's Office, some forfeiture money. We extended the grants that they had, and also some forfeiture money that was provided to the Criminal Gang Strike Force from the Attorney General's office.
So, Mr. Chairman, with this additional appropriation, will your base next year be 628 then?
Mr. Chair, Representative, the I would defer until we have a chance to take a look at the governor's budget. The governor will be making some recommendations with regard to the base of the criminal gang strike force.
Mr. Chairman, can maybe Representative Smith can enlighten us on how this is used.
Ms. Ellison or Chairman Smith?
Mr. Chair, Representative, this money is used for a grant program to provide funding for the operation of criminal gang strike force activities through 15 law enforcement agencies around the state and that serve five regions of the state. So it really goes to reimburse departments for time that officers are spending on gang-related activities, and they're members of the criminal gang strike force.
Mr. Chairman, and just how much of that is state administrative costs?
Ms. Ellison?
Mr. Chair, I'm trying to remember how much of the 352 is state admin. I don't believe any of it is state-related costs. Is that correct? Zero of the 352,000 is for state administrative costs.
Well, you must have some state administrative costs within your budget. I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, to be asking these questions that should have been normally be asked in a division, but bear with me on it.
And Representative Slobberg, that's one reason I wanted to have an informational hearing today. The deficiency bills normally just go to the Ways and Means Committee, as you know, and this is an appropriate place for those questions.
There has to be some money expended and appropriated for administration. Or is the 628, all of it go out into grants to...
Mr. Chair, Representative, we have a total of $75,000 in the base budget of the Office of Justice Programs that goes to pay for various staff that operate the grant program. However, that funding is not represented in the $352,000 that I spoke of, nor is it represented in the $276,000 deficiency request that the governor has put in the bill.
So, Mr. Chairman, if this doesn't pass, how would you prorate the 352, or would you just spend it for the first 6 months, or have you 7 months worth?
Ms. Ellison.
Mr. Chair, Representative, we would have to prorate it and significantly downsize the operations of the criminal gang strike force.
Representative Carlson is next on my list.
Thank you for letting me.
I'm sorry, was there, unless I missed something there, I was handed a note. Was there another question?
Thank you for letting me interrupt.
Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'm still back on that shift question.
Okay.
you know, just I used to have rental property, and if somebody said I can only pay you 80% of the rent, that would certainly change the way in which I would have to do business. And I think that's the problem with the school districts here. When we initiated the shift to begin with, and then we made a commitment that we were going to buy that back, set up a payment schedule, if you will, vague as it was, based on the amount of revenue that would come in. But we did make a commitment, and that's being changed here, and I think that's the concern that you're hearing from some of us on the committee. But, Mr. Chairman, the question that I have that I'd like to have answered, being that we're not going to vote on the bill today, what other alternatives did the Department of Finance look at when you were deciding how to fund the deficiency? Were there other places you looked to find that $25 million? That's where the big problem seems to be, and what were those places?
Commissioner Ingerson.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Carlson, what we looked at the fact that if we were to look at where there are funds currently in fiscal 05 that would not be used, but if we were to take those funds, it would reduce the amount of our cancellation that we estimate in the forecast and bringing the budget into balance and would put things out of balance. So we've been involved in a lot of deliberations over the last several months in preparing the governor's budget recommendations for 06-07, and some of the things that we would be looking at were pretty much limited to looking at something like balances in other funds or money that would otherwise not cancel to the general fund. And Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I think that there are some of those kinds of things that are going to be included in the governor's budget recommendations, but for the most part, the concern was that these are issues that are would raise a fair amount of controversy and that we wouldn't be able to assure early passage of the deficiency bill, which is why we opted for this as well. And Mr. Chair and members, I appreciate the concern that people have about the school payment shift. It certainly isn't something that we want to do, and we like the fact that it's a priority to buy that payment shift back down. And we certainly will look at other options, but we have done that and haven't come up with anything at this point.
Yeah. Representative Carlson. Mr. Chairman, when you referenced the cancellations, what are the cancellations going to be? In terms of dollars, and what are some of the places that
they're... Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, we in our forecast documents currently estimate that cancellations for this biennium will be $20 million. I think 15 of it is what we say would cancel at the end of fiscal 05 by June 30th. We are never specific in terms of what that is, and so if we were to identify other funds, it would be money that would otherwise cancel and would reduce that cancellation amount.
Thank you. Representative Huntley.
Mr. Chairman and Commissioner, I guess I'm not a very good accountant, but again, back to this shift. If we're shifting $25 million into the next biennium, does that mean we're $25 million worse off than we were told we were a week ago in the next biennium? That the deficit is $25 million bigger than we thought it was?
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and Representative Huntley, I'm thinking about that for a minute, because what happens is we have kind of the perpetual settle-up payment always, and so it's currently, prior to the November forecast, it would have been 20% payment in the next year. It's now something like 18.5%, and this would reduce it slightly, and so there would be that payment in the next biennium as well.
All right. Sorry, do you want to? I missed that, Representative Huntley.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think that means I was right.
Mr. Chair,
Commissioner,
it was just whispered to me that the deficit doesn't change because we're still paying 100% to the school district within this year and next.
Representative Osmond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to ask about the priorities. As I'm reading the information we have and trying to recall with regard to our priorities of restoration of funds, I believe it was our commitment to restore the cash flow account and the budget reserve before we got to the school shift restoration. So therefore, the priority of the last legislative session was clearly to focus on the cash flow account and the budget reserve before we got to the school shift. If this delay would cause extra costs to school districts over and above what we were anticipating before, is it possible to, and they would, because they would have to have short-term borrowings, is it possible for us to also commit to paying that interest? If we would take this option. So it's a way of getting our hands, making this money available, but not putting an additional burden on the schools as their payment is delayed.
Just general.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair, Representative Osman, I'm not sure that schools would be doing additional borrowing as a result of this change. Because I think school districts set their budgets for this year on the basis of expecting 80% in this year, and as a result, what they just learned in early December is that it would be 81.5, and so this is just a slight reduction for that. So I don't think that they would be incurring additional costs, but I'm a little unsure as to whether there has been at any time in the past with the shift, whether it's the payment shift or the property tax recognition shift, if we have, in fact, recognized interest payments or allowed for interest payments. I do know that if school districts are in statutory operating deficit, that their payment is made 100%. So there isn't a shift payment made to districts that don't have funds available. I further would suggest this, although this is kind of a relic of history and it isn't relevant any longer because interest rates are so low, but several years ago when we were looking at buying back the school property tax recognition shift, which was much more significant than the payment shift, we were looking at what is trying to make the case as to the cost that this is to school districts. And what we learned in investigating this is that school districts were making money on arbitrage. They would borrow in tax anticipation, invest the money, and have interest earnings that exceeded their borrowing expenses. Like I say, that's kind of a relic of the past when we had higher interest rates. I'm sure that's no longer the case, but I don't know if we've ever kind of explored the option to reimburse school districts for interest expenses.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Representative Austin.
Sure, it seems like it might be something we would want to take a look at if we're talking about the needing to not use the budget reserve for this purpose, and we want to go to shifts, but we don't want to put any additional burden on the schools. There may be a way that we could do this and we pick up the additional expense, if there is any, and the commissioner seems to indicate that she doesn't believe there would be any additional costs.
Representative Carlson, then Solberg.
Mr. Chairman. To this point, Representative.
Oh, Representative McNamara.
Excuse me. It's to Representative Osmond's point.
Okay.
Commissioner Ingeson, isn't it true that the reality, when we left last summer, we have now infused with the new money in the budget, don't you adapt the school's payments already? Aren't they actually receiving the money faster than they thought they were going to receive it when we left? So the argument that the schools are getting less money today, they're getting more money today than we when we left session, and whether the $24 million comes out of here, it's $118 minus $24, so they're getting $78 million faster than they were when we left. Am I following that right?
Mr. Chair, Representative, that's correct. When the budgets were set for the school districts for this school year, budgets were set in anticipation of the 80% payment for the current year for their formula and 20% later. As a result of the forecast in November that came out in early December, their payments were accelerated, and I think it was probably just the last payment in December. Payments are made to school districts every 2 weeks, so the last payment in December would have been an accelerated payment under the new shift payment amount, the new payment amount at 81 point something. And this would be a slight reduction in that. So, in fact, that's correct. That school districts, instead of $118 million new money to school districts over and above when their budgets were set, they'd be getting $93 million more.
Representative Carlson.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, on that point, I didn't. So, are you telling me that the school, or telling the committee that the school districts got the 118 in December, and now you're asking for the 25 of the 118 back after the fact, or did I misunderstand you,
Commissioner?
Mr. Chair and Representative Carlson, I probably wasn't clear enough. The payments that are made to school districts every 2 weeks are taken into account what the new payment schedule. So they would have gotten an increased payment in December. I don't think that all of this money is paid out until later in the year, later in this fiscal year. So certainly not all of the money that was paid out in that December payment, but the payment reflected the higher portion of payout.
And Commissioner, to that point, so then is the $118 million metered out so they get an equal percentage of it every other week from now until the end of the year, or is it paid out at a certain rate with a lump sum at the end?
Mr. Chairman,
we're really put you on the spot, Commissioner.
It's metered out, but I don't know how it's metered out exactly. It's not an equal payment. I think it reflects kind of a catch-up for this year's worth under the new payment method. So maybe the payments over the in December, January are a little bit higher. I know that much of this portion of the payment would be paid out by April.
Mr. Chairman, I recall it's in statute that in terms of what that payment schedule is, but where I was a little confused was the Commissioner's comments about the 118 and the payment in December. So what I think she's saying is that that goes out on top then of each of the remaining scheduled payments. So we may have had a miscommunication there. I was left with a different impression of what happens. But I want to yield at this point, or I guess he's next anyway, to Representative Solberg.
Yeah, well, I think what you're saying, Representative Carlson, is what I understand is that school districts as of December started getting additional money that they had not originally expected when we passed our budget back earlier. But because of the November forecast, that $118 million extra that was put into the shift started being metered out on some basis to school districts in December.
That's my understanding now.
Okay. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, this thing is, and you kind of tweaked my interest on the cancellations, and so I'm going to, if I may, ask our staff question, Bill Marks. And when you said that there was a $20 million, I think you said $20 million in cancellations projected, and maybe, Mr. Chairman, if Bill Marks can help us what cancellations are actually happening this year instead of $20
million. And, Commissioner or Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Solberg, the amount that's currently in our forecast for cancellations is higher than the 20 that's typically there because of cancellations specifically that were higher than this amount for the HESL grant program. But the amount that is, if you will, kind of unallocated or undescribed is the 20, and I think it's 15 by 5 in fiscal 04 and 15 in fiscal 05.
Maybe Mr. Representative, maybe Mr. Marks can give us all the numbers that I think these are important numbers for everyone on both sides of the political aisle to understand.
Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I think in fiscal 2004 and 2005, the from the fund balance, the undesignated amount is actually $5 million, which would be kind of their cancellations from places that we don't know exist, but it's money that won't get spent. And then there's an additional $39 million from the Higher Education Services Agency that I believe represents cancellations both from the state grant program and from tuition reciprocity. So the fund balance shows a total of $44 million for the current biennium. The $20 million that Commissioner Ingerson referenced is the kind of the standard amount in the 5 and the 15, and that would be, again, in fiscal 2006 and 2007. I believe there's not $20 million in this time because there were so many cuts to agencies. The assumption was that they weren't going to be canceling that much back. But I believe the 5 and the 39 is what they're showing currently.
So, Mr. Chair, but we could be saying instead of going down the road of taking from the schools, is there is being canceled from HESO. $39 million. $32 of that is state and $7 is reciprocity. Is that correct in that area, roughly?
Mr. Marks?
Mr. Chair, I think that's probably roughly correct. I'm not sure of exactly the breakout.
Okay. Well, that's, I think, an interesting source of cancellation money. And I'm questioning why that wasn't considered. Did that become controversial?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Silberg, that's already taken into account in getting this to the budget balance now. It's included in the forecast that money will cancel, and that brings the budget into balance currently.
Or less of a negative number.
Well, actually, Commissioner, I guess in a sense then you're saying that money is in the $118 million that's going to the schools under the shift.
Yeah.
Representative Carlson.
Mr. Chairman, as a follow-up on that, and by the way, I just found out that the December payment, if I can go back to shift for a moment, but I was going to follow up, was $48 million. And then the balance was to be metered out, apparently, is what was done. I see some nodding yes back there. So it wasn't metered out. The point is evenly, but 48 went up in December. But on this cancel back and the budget being balanced with that, if the commissioner could comment, then what would happen if we all of a sudden in this could conceivably happen. I think they're still registering for the next semester. We had a big jump in the state grant program because we had an increase in enrollment at the university in Minsky and private college systems. Then your budget is out of balance. Is that what I hear, if that were to happen?
Commissioner. Mr. Chair, Representative Carlson, that would be the case, that we are making an estimate when we do the forecast about a number of things, and one of them is, you know, what the enrollment will be, and certainly people would be entitled to the financial aid in the same way if enrollment was higher, and things would be out of balance if that estimate didn't hold up. But it's not like a number of other things that we estimate as part of the forecast.
But then, Mr.
Representative Carlson.
Chairman, being that there's such a huge amount there relative to the size of the financial aid program, the likelihood that the full 31.7 would be consumed, it might, if there were a jump to a few million, that would throw your overall budget perhaps out of balance. But certainly... if we wanted to find dollars other than the shift, I think that's something that we could look at as a committee.
Representative Riccobina.
Well, Mr. Chair and Commissioner, you know, I look at the budget, and you know, the public defense board operation is explainable as to why you need that money, because some of us said it's never going to work when you were going to charge people that most of them don't have any money, charge it, and then the court ruled against you. But
the other two considerable amounts of money in this budget are the corrections and the human services. How can you be off? I mean, it's the Department of Finance that gives us fiscal notes all the time, and we've had this discussion how a fiscal note can go, you know, from $1 billion to zero if the governor wants it, something, and from zero to $1 billion if he doesn't. But how can, you know, somebody in the private sector, and you, my friends on the other side of the aisle, are always trying to run, you know, government like Cranky runs his business, but in any event, how can you, some people get fired for being off by this much, and how can you be off? Explain to me again the 4.37 in corrections and the 13.4 in what I assume is, are they sex offenders mostly in those? How are you off in those numbers, I think?
Representative Riccovino, I suspect Representative Prinky would say we still have quite a ways to go to get to his business standard. But
yeah, none of these people would be working here, but that's another issue.
Commissioner.
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Dennis Benson, a Deputy Commissioner for Corrections. I'll speak very briefly to the 4.3 number in corrections. The primary driver there is population growth, unanticipated population growth. We do projections every year. We do the very best we can. Ordinarily, we're within a couple percent in terms of our growth, but the methamphetamine epidemic that is rolling across Minnesota is one of the primary drivers. About half of our drug population of 2,000 offenders is methamphetamine offenders that came in, and it was an unanticipated population driver. So the growth is about 300 more than we anticipated this biennium that we're in. Every single inmate that comes into the system right now, we have to rent a bed because we are out of beds everywhere else, so it isn't like we can squeeze a few more in cell hall A at Stillwater or cell hall B or somewhere else. We've been doing that for 10 years, so the growth has to go somewhere. We have cut our budget by several million dollars the first year of the biennium. The price tag for renting these beds is about $6.8 million. We're coming up with $3 or $4 million of that. We're asking for 2.85 to rent beds. We're asking for another $1 million of healthcare kind of companies, the inmate population. The other thing that happens with methamphetamine offenders is the bad tooth decay that you all saw, I'm sure, in the papers last weekend. We also have a sicker population, more hepatitis C cases. We have unfunded salaries in our healthcare area that, as we added staff, those salaries were not funded for inflation, so that's also a driver in the healthcare area. So that's 3.85, and then we have about 520,000 in the community services area for additional supervision and the civil commitment process of sex offenders. We're looking at more and more of those cases, and it's really about 7 staff in that area for the other 520,000. Again, with a $374 million budget, we try very hard to hit it as close as we can. I can't remember the last time we had to come in asking for a deficiency funding and corrections, but again, this was really driven by unanticipated growth as a result of about 100 sentencing enhancements over the course of the last 15 years, many of which are finally coming home to roost.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm glad he finally answered my question in the last sentence, because it is enhancements of crimes, and you know they're coming down the pike. You don't get the same nowadays, believe me, I know, let's say for a drunk driving than you did 10 years ago. You don't get the same for methamphetamine today than you did 3 years ago. You know it costs money. And last year, Representative Smith's bill, and he was one of the few that would admit the cost, the Sentencing Guideline Board was telling us what the costs are if we do this. Everybody around here wants to get tough on crime.
pound your chest and say you're going to take care of methamphetamine. You know, biggest joke in this, one of the proposals I saw is we're going to make meth heads pay for cleaning up. Where the hell are you going to get the money from a meth head? You know, well, you're up at the table, Deputy Commissioner, tell me that. Because that's another problem we're going to face. You're going to be here next year. You're going to be asking for $20 million instead of $4.3 million. But, you know, this is what I'm trying to make the point here today. We can always, and Representative Greiland, I certainly don't want to get in an argument with, on the first day of this committee with my good friend from Roseville. You didn't understand what I said. I said my problem with this isn't that I have a problem with these programs. It's that we can always find money to fund these programs. Yet every omnibus bill that came through here last year but Representative Smith had cuts in it. Every single one. I don't care if it was for the environment. I don't care if it was for K-12. I don't care if it was for higher ed. I don't care if it was for our nursing homes. It comes through here and we cut it all. But we didn't cut Representative Smith's bill, and now this deficiency bill is all about the laws that everybody pounded their chest to get tough on crime, but nobody found the money. So we're back to Wimpy, and I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. And that's my question to this committee, is when are you going to start paying for the bills that you pass here and really pay for them? Because you're not really paying for this, Commissioner. You know that. If you were still over on fiscal staff in the Senate and you still had your old boss, who happens to also be a commissioner under this administration, you'd be asking the same questions as I am, and he would be, and you'd be whispering in his ear like you always did and ask this one because you were always good at that. And I know what would be going on. We'd be saying, we got to pay for this stuff, not just pay for it right now. You got to pay for it over the long run, and we're not doing that. And I can't see how you're off by 4.3, sir, and I certainly don't even want the person to come up from Human Services to tell us how we're off by 13.4 on sex offenders.
Well, Representative Rickabean, I'm not sure if you're asking us to appropriate some money here for future legislatures. I don't think you are, but maybe I can ask Commissioner Benson. I mean, do you have some projections for beds yet for 06-07 that are affiliated with this? I haven't seen them for DHS. I guess I haven't noticed them for corrections. They may be out there, they may not.
Mr. Chair and members, yes, to be very frank, it isn't. It's carried in the forecast, and I believe the number is right around $72 million new dollars to for the biennium to rent additional beds for our anticipated growth.
And is that, Commissioner Benson, how much of an increase is that over the last budget? I mean, you're asking for additional money here. I assume in the forecast there was additional forecasted beds you didn't expect. How much more was it, you know?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure I understand the question. The in fiscal year, the current biennium you're talking about?
Well, for the next biennium.
Well, it's growth is, you're talking about the growth, the 74 or 72 million is new dollars. That's 20 some the first year and 30, 40 some the second year.
I guess what I'm asking is you are here with a deficiency bill because you've had more prisoners show up than you expected even several months ago when we passed the last budget. We knew there was going to be more money spent on prisoners in 06-07 back last May. Now there's even more than we expected. How much is there now over what we thought there was going to be in May? Is that 72?
Mr. Chair, I think I have the number here that the what's included in the forecast for 06-07 over 04-05 is $72 million. But over what we anticipated the end of session is $42 million.
Yeah, that was my question. All right.
But, Mr. Chair,
Representative Rickabina.
One final point on this, which just gets to show you that there numbers being cut. And Deputy Commissioner Benson said it. That in his last statement, it's from all the laws we passed. And Representative Smith's numbers last year were different than the sentencing guideline numbers, who said, no, they're not correct. They're going to be a lot more than that. And so I'm just saying, when you get, I'm tired of the crime bill having all the new growths Well, we cut everything else. That's all I'm saying, Representative Dreiling, and I know you agree with that concept with me. It's so be honest about it. If the sentencing guideline says that the sexual offenders bill this year, which we're going to get tough on, I saw that in the paper too, or the methamphetamine bill is going to be a lot more than what we're really saying as a legislature, then let's say it. Let's find the money to fund it, because I'm not going to take money from kids anymore, and I'm not going to take money from senior citizens and nursing homes to the tune of $450 million a year or whatever it was, Mr. Martz, anymore. I'm not going to do it.
Well, Representative Rickavine, I assume that your statements about honesty are rhetorical and that you're not actually accusing people of lying. I guess I think that what has been brought forth is honest.
Mr. Chair, I'm saying there's no... If I'm reading the paper right and we're going to charge a meth head to clean up one of his sites, then you're not being honest. You're living in Pluto, not Earth, because you're not going to squeeze blood out of a turnip. So when that bill comes here this year, I'm going to... Let's bring a meth head here from Stillwater and ask him if he's going to pay to clean up the site and where he's going to get the money from, because he's going to laugh at you.
Well, I haven't seen the specifics of that bill, Representative Rickavine, but when it comes here, you can certainly ask questions. Representatives, let's see. I had Representative Wagenius next on the list.
Right, kind of on point. When you listed, Commissioner, all the costs of methamphetamine, one of the costs that you didn't list as you were paying as was the cleanup. So my question is, who's paying that cost if you're not paying it?
Commissioner Benson.
I don't mean him personally.
Mr. Chair and Representative, I believe that is probably a local cost. In most cases, it may fall to PCA. I'm not quite sure that really falls outside of the scope of the Department of Corrections responsibility. We're kind of the repository for those folks, or we supervise them. But to be very frank, I really don't know who picks up those costs. But I do know that local units of government are concerned about it.
Representative Guinness?
Yes, quite to follow up. I think that is a major problem that we need to talk about as a state responsibility, not Representative Rukavina, as Matt, I would agree with you that we're not going to get blood out of the turnip, but it also ought not be on property taxes. And so as we look at that particular issue when we are listing all those costs, that is one of the costs that we need to bring forward and be, again, what is the real cost of this? I think it will give us more incentive to deal with it. So I would be asking that question again.
Our Commissioner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Wagenius, I know that there's a bill that's kind of moving its way through and actually was even this last session under discussion, and it included, at least from the governor's recommendation perspective, it includes a revolving loan fund for cleanup, for assisted cleanup.
Representative Guinness.
But the point of a loan fund is that it's a loan. Why should that be shifted onto local property taxes if we're not able at the state level to take care of this problem that we should be able to take care of at the state level? It doesn't seem right that that's shifted onto local property taxes, particularly in some of the counties that just don't have the money to deal with it. So what happens in those counties? Or does some innocent party get stuck? That's what I'm also worried about. You know?
The members, the hour is 6 o'clock, and I want to be sensitive to members' time in terms of people going to dinner and having commitments, but I also want to be sensitive to members asking questions. So I have Representative Solberg here. Before I recognize Representative Solberg, Mr. Commissioner Benson, I think you've got another question coming. I would like to say to the DHS, any of the DHS folks in the office, in the audience, I'd like to see any projections that we've got for 06-07 in terms of the sex offender commitments and what is projected, because that's where, while there's been certainly some growth with corrections, the biggest growth, at least percentage-wise, has been with the sex offenders. And so I'd like to see what we are looking at, if there are some projections for 06-07. But I don't need that right now. If you can give that to me maybe after the meeting if it's available, that would be great. Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Benson, a couple of clarifications on your base. You're requesting $72 million growth, you said. Does this 3.8 or 4.3 or whatever the number is that included in that growth, or should we subtract that out then? Is that in addition to, does your base grow, is it anticipated that I got correctional institutions 3.85, that your base will increase that much, so your actual growth over the next year will be like 75, or don't you know?
Commissioner Anderson?
Representative Solberg, the increase is over 0.405 as it is today.
Current law. So, Mr. Chairman, then, that is kind of coming through in a change request within the governor's budget, or your request. That's fine. And my other question is, are any of these being shifted to the counties, this money, to pay for some of the county costs? Because I went to my county board, and I think they said their marginal cost for housing prisoners was like, I can't remember the number, like I want to say $48-$50 a day, and their reimbursement was like $13 a day. Is any of this money in there related to any of that?
Commissioner Benson.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, for the most part, no. What they're referring to is the short-term offender.
Right.
There are about 270 offenders now that have a sentence of 6 months or less that the locals are holding, and they are reimbursed out of an appropriation about $1.2 million, I believe, last for the current biennium. That's split up equally between the counties, and that's what it comes to, about $13 a day.
But, Mr. Chairman, that doesn't even begin to cover their marginal costs even, plus the fact that now we have filled up some of their prisons or jails, so they're looking at having to, the Department of Corrections is now coming in and says, you're overcrowded, and so now you have to build a new jail. So not only do they have not finished their marginal cost, but they're looking at big expenditures for capital improvements, so we need to address that. But thank you, Mr. Chairman, for that opportunity, Fletch.
Certainly. Any other discussion or questions? Members, I haven't set a time for our next meeting yet, but we'll notify you about that shortly. See no further questions. Meeting's adjourned.